You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. If he does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another episode of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. Spoiler alert, we're talking about another NDSU win in this breakdown edition. So we want to take a look back at the what I believe was 38 or 39-11, which is just an odd score, 38-11 in the Fargo Dome on Saturday afternoon. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ross Uglum. Ross, how are things going for you today?
Going well. Yeah, you're right, though. Definitely a weird score. Safeties usually throw things off like that, though. Makes sense that it got to be a little goofy.
Yeah, not every day you see 11 out on the scoreboard. Just a weird game in terms of the scoring. But let's get into the news part of this podcast. Start, and unfortunately, we have to talk about another defensive starter who is unfortunately going to be out for the season.
Yeah, Dan Marlette was lost to the season with an ACL injury on kick coverage. Kleiman said that he felt like Marlette was really operating at an all-conference level, and it's hard to disagree. I mean, he was playing exceptional football. Mike linebacker, nickel linebacker, whatever, special team stud, really showed that he could run. And I think his number one attribute is his it is likely his athleticism. You just hope that when he comes back next year, he's not sapped of any of that, because he appeared at the very least to be a pretty exceptional athlete.
He did. So let's hope that he recovers well, and we hopefully can be able to see him for 2018. But another Valley news. I know that there was a huge game last weekend between South Dakota State, Youngstown State, and the South Dakota State Jackrabbits were held to just 7 points out in Ohio. Did you see that one coming from the Penguins?
Probably not. I think you can definitely see that maybe South Dakota State isn't all they were cracked up to be. That's a possibility there. But at the same time, you don't expect that offense to struggle. The South Dakota State run defense, though, was particularly bad, and they could have given up a lot more points than they did. I think they probably could have scored more points than they did. But to hold Youngstown to the number that they held them to, I think was a little fluky, because I did have a chance to sit down and watch that game live.
And when you look at this Youngstown State team, that doesn't get any easier for them. They have to head to Vermilion this upcoming Saturday and take on the Fighting Chris Strevlers of South Dakota. So let's transition back to some injury news. And I know that there was a little bit of confusion before the game in terms of who was actually wearing Cole Davis's number. So it appears Cole Davis is still going to be out for a while. Well, somebody else wears his number, Ross.
Yeah, Holden Hotchkiss is going to be probably available for home games if something awful were to happen. I could not imagine with the ability to use James Hendricks as an emergency, as an emergency signal caller there, that they would use him being Hotchkiss in a road situation because of the number of guys that you actually get to dress to go on the road. So I think you're looking at a longer-term injury than maybe people thought. Most people were saying 2 to 4. Kleiman's quote at the press conference was, it'll be a while. So pay attention kind of to just how long they're going to have Henry Van Dellen as a number two. But it's an important step for Van Dellen's development as well. I mean, he's going to get tons and tons of reps until Davis comes back. And that'll accelerate kind of his process as somebody who could potentially take over Stick's starting job after next season.
So the final piece of news here that we should probably talk about is when you look at the Missouri Valley as a whole through at least one, possibly two Missouri Valley Conference games, and there are three teams undefeated right now, and that's Illinois State, North Dakota State, and South Dakota. When you look at Illinois State and South Dakota, does that surprise you in terms of, you know, how far along each one of these teams is so far?
I'm definitely more surprised about Illinois State. South Dakota was something that I kind of saw coming. Told people sort of what was going to happen when they played UND. I did not anticipate UND being able to compete in that game with USD, despite what happened a season ago in Grand Forks, just because I really felt like the best player in the conference was probably Chris Strebler. The way that they use him is ideal for his strengths as a player. At the same time, you know, they're one awkward tackle away from really having to redefine their entire offense just because of how much he's actually used. So you have to hope that that's a durable, durable kid if you are really going to design that much of what you do around running a quarterback. Other than that, though, they're exceptional. Missouri Valley, best conference in the country without question. And you're really seeing that with their representation really high in the top 25 this week.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little recruiting here before we get into the game. I think the big thing to note here, and we talked about it in the preview podcast, was the official visitor for Coach Richmond and the basketball team, kid from Nebraska, a wing by the name of Sam Griesel. From talking with him, you can get all the full quotes and everything he had to say about his Bison official visit on thebisonreport.com. But someone that Coach Richmond compared to A.J. Jacobson. Now, Ross, I want to get your thoughts on that comparison and what else you've heard from your sources within the NDSU program.
Yeah, he's a big kid. I don't think he'll probably score at the same rate that A.J. does, but he might be a little bit better athlete, might be able to give you more defensively, maybe a little bit more on the boards. They kind of see him as an A.J. Jacobson, maybe a Corey Brown type, just somebody that's really going to help the team win. I'm not sure that anybody expects Sam to lead the team in scoring at any point or even really be the team's best player at any point, but he's going to be an important part to what they do if he's able to if the staff is able to secure him as a commitment. And I think they're very, very excited about Sam. I think that they would be a good fit for each other, and the staff was pretty pleased that their goal is to kind of go 4-for-4. They were able to get Notech. They were able to get Vinny and Jarius Cook. And if they can grab Sam, I think that would pretty much wrap up what they're going to try to do this season.
Yep, so we'll have to see how that plays out. The latest with Sam is he's already taken two official visits, I believe one to Nebraska-Omaha, one to Nebraska-Kearney, and then he's going to be taking one to South Dakota this weekend. And as far as my knowledge from what Sam has told me, South Dakota has not offered. So he is going into that visit, I think, trying to see if an official visit will bring out an offer. And if it does, I think that provides very stiff competition for NDSU. And then on the football side of things, there was an official visitor this weekend, and DJ Stewart. Still waiting on messages back from him, but we're still kind of here in a holding pattern until the top 6-7 guys on the NDSU football board start to make some decisions, and I don't see those decisions coming anytime soon. These kids really want to focus on their senior seasons, making sure they go out with a bang. So, Ross, you want to take us into our end?
How is it that NODAC insurance agents can answer all of your questions? When you focus on North Dakota, you know more. We don't have to respond to hurricanes in Florida, which makes it easier to respond to hailstorms and fender benders in Fargo. Hi, I'm Ross Other, your NODAC insurance company agent. I'm here in Fargo, which means the answers that give you peace of mind are right in front of you. Answers come easy with NODAC insurance. Call me at 701-532-0891 to get the answers to your insurance questions today.
All right, let's talk about that Missouri State game.
So, a 38-11 victory, one where, no surprise, NDSU had a very dominant performance in most areas of the game. I feel like this is just a broken record I keep repeating to week after week, Ross, but it's nice to see a team that isn't finding a lot of complacency.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's incredibly important that the team continues to play hard because they're winning these games by a ton. And it might not seem to the outside viewer that this is a difficult thing for them. And it really seems like you could certainly come off the gas a little bit. And it's happened to Bison teams of the past. It's happened to very good Bison teams of the past. And you just wouldn't want to see it happen to this club, certainly. But you just have to continue to focus on getting better as a team and not necessarily who your competition level is when you're playing these games against the quote-unquote cupcakes.
And a little interesting nugget as I want to kick things off with the offensive side of the ball. I saw you tweet this out yesterday evening. was when we're looking at Easton Stick's rushing ability. You have the stats that Easton, per game the last 3 years as a starter, he rushed for 45 yards a game in 2015, 48.9 yards in 2016, and then we look at 2017. He's less than 10 yards a game, and he didn't even attempt to run on Saturday. He took two sacks for negative 15 yards. So what do you make of the lack of Easton Stick rushing ability? Do you think it's a philosophy change? Do you think there's an injury that the staff potentially may be hiding? Or what are you drawing into these statistical differences?
I don't think there's an injury that the staff is hiding. Easton took a couple hits and was limping around the sideline a little bit, but that's just football. I think it might be a little bit of a honest-to-goodness philosophy change between Tim Polasek and Courtney Messingham and just the way that they're going to use and the way that they value Stick and maybe even the way that they prior to what happened to him, they view the drop between Davis and Stick, and then now they view the drop between Stick and of course Henry Van Dellen. They need to protect their quarterback. You never get the staff to say that, but it's something that I think is pretty obvious, that they're going to try and make sure Easton is all right and that Easton can continue to win games for the football team. And yeah, there's no mistaking almost a 37 or 38 yard per game difference in rushing potential at this time or rushing per game. Fewer design runs, but at the same time, not really any less effective production from the running backs. And that's sometimes what you see because teams really do pay attention to just how difficult it is for teams to defend running backs that have mobile quarterbacks optioning to them. And that's not a problem that ASU is currently running into. They're scoring in the 50s per game. I don't see a big shift in what they're trying to do coming, at the very least until Cole Davis is fully ready to go.
Well, I can tell you I would trade just about any University of Minnesota player straight up for Easton Stick to watch him run this offense down here in the Twin Cities, because the way he's passing the ball to start the season is quite remarkable. 15 of 21 on Saturday, 220 yards, two scores, no interceptions. Easton Stick as a passer this year, I think, has probably exceeded any and all expectations you had for him, correct?
Yeah, like I said, even mine, I mean, I'm a pro football focused guy. I always have been. I've loved their advanced statistics, and they've got one that's called adjusted completion percentage. And that pretty much removes throwaways and drops from your completion percentage. And those things are part of the game too, but it's more of a measure of aimed throws. Throws that Stick was trying to make, that he was able to make. I mean, his adjusted completion percentage in that game had to be above 80 because of the two drops and the one throwaway. And I'd be interested and more able to do it if I could get like condensed games like they do on Game Pass to just chart how many of his incompletions are throwaways or drops, because I think his adjusted completion percentage would be absolutely bonkers. Everybody's adjusted percentage is going to be higher, but I would guess that Stick would have one of the highest percentages in the entire country. And then you would try to pick that apart and make the Sam Bradford argument, and you can't. I mean, these are not three-yard throws. He's averaging 10 yards per an attempt, not 10 yards of completion, 10 yards an attempt. He's pushing the ball downfield with accuracy. I from the beginning have been in an I told you so type of way about Stick, but I did not tell you this. I mean, he is right now he's the best quarterback in the conference, and that includes Taron Christian.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a fellow Dakota fan, I mean, you look at the way Easton's playing right now, I think it's tough to argue with that. And I know, speaking of comparisons, Ross, I know that you made one in your Upon Film Review piece about Lance Dunn. And I think it's worth mentioning what your thoughts are on Lance Dunn's performance again on Saturday. 10 rushing attempts, 91 rushing yards, two scores. What are your thoughts on Mr. Lance Dunn after watching him again find Pater twice on Saturday?
Yeah, and I'll, of course, that gives me a chance to clarify what I meant there as well. Chris Strebler is the best player probably in the conference right now. I just meant as a quarterback, because Strebler is more of a Tebow of the FCS. And you talk about a Tebow of the FCS. I was talking about maybe a LaDainian Tomlinson of the FCS. You would not think that a guy who's an inch taller and 4 pounds heavier than Lance Dunn would have the NFL's all-time record for touchdowns in a season, but LT does. And that's the kind of player that Lance Dunn is turning into. Is Lance Dunn going to the NFL Hall of Fame on the first ballot? Probably not. But this is just a comparison of playing styles. A smaller running back with a nose for the end zone and ability to catch the ball out of the backfield while still being dominant when he does get the ball in his hands. Lance Dunn is really a star. And we came into the season, I've admitted this on a number of occasions, thinking that he was going to be part of a rotation the same way as he was part of a rotation last year because of the talent level we felt that Bruce Anderson had. Bruce is still very talented. I would still love to see Bruce get 25 carries a game, but you would never want anything to happen to Lance because he's just that good. And I think you have to respect everything that he's able to do in concert with just how good we really think Bruce is, because Dunn is a star, and without question, I think is the best tailback in the Valley right now.
I know, as we switch to the defensive side of the ball, I know that in your Pond Film Review piece that's up on the BisonReport.com, I mean, it's going to be a weekly feature until, you know, it starts to change, and that's the fact that the defensive end spot for the fourth game in a row hasn't really generated a very good pass rush. Now, we're heading into Indiana State this weekend. Is it starting to rise on your board in terms of level of concern?
In the sense that anything's concerning about a team that's winning games by the margin that they're winning them by, but you have to pick nits. I mean, the team has to focus on getting better, and so it's my job to identify where those spots are, not for the team but for the fans. And that's where I'm at right now. I think pass protection could get better, and I really think the defensive ends could get better. And whether, you know, that's on Coach Buddha or whether it's on Coach Entz or whoever needs to get them going a little bit more, I don't know. I don't know whether, you know, they have to practice a little bit more with hand use, do a few more pass rush drills and practice. But I'm waiting on a rep. I'm waiting on one rep where somebody beats an offensive tackle and sacks the quarterback, finishes the play. I saw a decent rep. I think it was a Tuska brother where they created a hurry or a pressure, and those are important too, but they couldn't close the deal. And hurries are important. QB hits are important. Knockdowns are important. But, man, I would just love to see one Greg Menard rep-looking type of deal, just one.
We're not asking the world. We're just asking for one. So let's switch out to linebacker. You talked about the injuries in the opening. It's going to be interesting to see what the linebacker group looks like, but I know at least on one side of the field, Mr. Cox and Mr. Board seem to be splitting a lot of reps. So do you think that's something that's going to continue here as we get further and further into the conference schedule?
Well, you got to pay attention to that, certainly, just because people have been wanting Jabril to play all season long. And there have been linebackers getting injured left and right. The problem is that Jabril is a Sam linebacker. And not only that, but he's a freshman. And there's so much to learn at the linebacker position. I was just having this conversation with a member of the staff as it pertains to recruiting and why they're so disinterested in JUCO linebackers, because they just don't have time to learn the system. The only way for Jabril to have clear playing time was for something to happen with Board or for he and Board to get into a rotation-type situation. And now it's starting to look like that's a possibility and that there might be a situational rotation even with Board being preferred on what you would think as run downs and then Cox being more of the fluid passing down type of player.
So speaking of the linebackers, as I want to ask you a little bit about the Mike linebacker position and what you think it's going to look like, but also welcome back Nick DeLuca. I don't think you saw that coming. I don't think really most people saw coming. So Mike linebacker Ross, and then welcome back Nick DeLuca.
Yeah, I did not get the answer. I didn't get the answer I was looking for, I guess, from Coach Kleiman. He seemed even a little bit annoyed with the question, which is fine. If I'm not annoying him a little bit, I'm probably not doing my job. But just the – what does it look like? What does the room look like if you don't have Marlette, which they don't, and if you don't have if you don't have Plank, because that's who obviously came to the rescue last year, was Matt Plank, and he could, I think, come to the rescue again if something were to happen to DeLuca. But I'm not convinced that that's something they're interested in at this time. So you really have to pay attention and figure out who that Mike linebacker would be in the next couple weeks here if Plank can't get over his injury. Is it Bo Polly? Is it Levi Jordheim, maybe, because of how deep they are at will? They could play Mercadal. I don't know. Do you try Chris Board at Mike and play Jabril if something were to happen to DeLuca? It's very important, I think, that these guys establish that middle linebacker group, and they're going to get some other guys up. Like I said, Bo Polly, they're even going to see, you know, if Ross Kennelly can compete and be a part of the defense and maybe even get elevated to special teams because of some of the injuries that they've been dealing with.
All right, let's switch to talk about the safety group. And again, I know you talked about it in your Pond Film Review piece, which people can find once again on the Bison Report, but you're looking at guys like Robbie Grimsley, Trey Dempsey, and your guy, Mr. James Hendricks, continues to play. You know, it's been a little up and down through four games, but when you look at the safety group as a whole, I think that folks would be pretty surprised to know how well they're playing.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I know that everyone knew that Grimsley and Dempsey were all American level guys and we're probably going to have excellent seasons, but James Hendricks, and we'll talk about him next, it has really been such a revelation. These guys are controlling the defense. I mean, you're in a situation the front seven's a little bit banged up, allowing a little bit on the QB run, allowing a little bit on the option. You get Missouri State moving a little, and then three separate times, just drive-ending interceptions. And it kept the game, you know, split more open, allowed NDSU to continue to run the ball. Really changed, I think, the complexion of that one because they were Missouri State was showing a little bit of life, but the safety group just shut it all down. I mean, one basically every time Uselig made a bad throw, it was picked off. It wasn't deflected. It was picked off, and that was the safety group. They were very, very good, and I think they're going to be a strength of the team moving forward.
How about, again, you mentioned James Hendricks a little bit, but again, with the way he's been playing, and I know that Kleiman also mentioned him a little bit at the press conference yesterday, are you surprised, and again, I know we've talked about this on numerous podcasts, but just the way that his development continues to trend, you know, more and more positively each week?
Yeah, you thought maybe after a rougher game in game two that game one might have been a flash in the pan, but he's really been exceptional for 2 weeks in a row. He's a guy that is always around the football. We talk all the time about just give me a squad full of ex-quarterbacks. That's all I would ever want. And he fits the bill perfectly. A guy that really just succeeds in all facets of the game, and that's what Kleiman said at the press conference. Man, we thought we would get a good player in the passing game, but we did not think he was going to be able to stop the run immediately, and he has. And it's a big deal. It's very important to what NDSU does to have your safeties be able to tackle. And, I mean, he can pretty clearly tackle. He is a complete player. And, really, I would call him found money. I mean, that kid has absolutely no reason to be where he is as far as contributing to this team. I mentioned in the film review, he's a 20-year-old true freshman. He's a guy that came in here to play quarterback and spent 2 years in the system learning how to play quarterback. They just throw him at safety, and now he is, for lack of, I mean, he's a starter because they're in nickel more than they're in base with all these linebackers that are beat up. I would say he's probably on the field for more snaps now than he isn't. And in today's changing definition of football, this kid's a starter and a pretty good one with no real reason for being pretty good. I mean, found money. That's, you know, the coaching staff was walking down the street and just happened to pick up a $50 bill.
It's always nice when that happens. So before we round things out for today, one more soft game on the schedule, Ross, before Youngstown State, which I think NDSU is obviously catching them at a good time, coming off SDSU last week, South Dakota this week, and then they have to come, they just have to play North Dakota State. But when you look at this Indiana State team this weekend, when you look at what Vegas says about this game, it is a NDSU 27-point road favorite. Indiana State is 0-4 in the season, and the tough part about it for Indiana State was they opened the season at home with a close loss to Eastern Illinois, but then for the entire month of September, Indiana State was on the road, so they'll be coming home this weekend to take on the Bison. So heal up any wounds before heading into battle with Youngstown State. Is that what your recommendation is for this Bison squad?
Yeah, be conservative in who you play in the game. Be conservative with what you do with Easton Stick. Secure the win, of course, and continue to develop those defensive ends and continue, honestly, to develop those offensive linemen as they keep clean up their pass protection schemes. Maybe get the ball out of Stick's hands a little bit quicker if you are concerned, but those are just nitpicking, man. I expect another big victory, and that's something that we'll talk about during the breakdown show. I should have some exciting interviews to play during that show if everything goes to plan today. So that should be great and a real treat for you guys.
That's what we like to call a teaser here in the industry. So we want to thank you guys for listening once again. If you want to check out the best Bison football review on the entire interwebs and probably across the entire country, head on over to the Bison Report or go to Ross Uglum's Twitter at Ross Uglum and check out the Upon Film Review piece to see what you missed from the NDSU victory on Saturday. So for Ross, for myself, we thank you guys for listening once again. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. Go Bison.